This is Ask the Experts. Every week, we talk to local experts in the fields of legal, health, financial, and home improvement.
I'm just a working man, but I stay busy every day.
On this edition of Ask the Experts, we speak with Bob Bollinger of Bollinger Law Firm about workers' compensation.
Good Saturday morning, and welcome to Ask the Experts right here on 94.7 Smoke and 1660, also available on the 94.7 Smoke app. Be sure and download that. Great place to listen in. And every morning, or every Saturday morning, Ask the Experts, we bring in a lot of different experts in a lot of different fields to cover a lot of different stuff. We ask them questions that you yourself, the listener, might be curious to know about, you know, whether it be home improvement, health, finance. This morning, no different. We've got a good friend of ours back once again, Mr. Bob Bollinger from the Bollinger Law Firm. Good morning, Bob. How are you, buddy?
Good morning, Will. Thank you. Good morning to you, and thank you for having me on the show today.
Oh, we're always happy to have you, bud. Now, it's important to note Bob Bollinger specializes in workers' compensation law, which is a little different than any other type of law that we've had on the show before. So let's start with the basics here. And for people who may not have heard our previous shows or don't know much about, you know, workers' comp and law, compensation law in general, what are the basics when it comes to workers' comp? Because I think everybody just assumes I get hurt, I get money from the person that, you know, employs me, boom, and that's how it works. But there's more to it than that.
Yeah, there is. It's actually pretty complicated. Workers' compensation is your only legal remedy against your employer if you get hurt at work. Mm-hmm. You can't sue your employer in civil court the way you might sue the guy that ran into the back of you at the stop sign. You can't do that to your employer. You can only file a workers' compensation claim.
Huh.
And it goes to an administrative agency here in North Carolina called the Industrial Commission. So you don't actually use the civil court system. You use a different kind of court system that the Industrial Commission provides. And we have what's technically an administrative hearing in front of a judge called a deputy commissioner, who is basically a dedicated workers' compensation judge. So in order to be covered by workers' comp, very briefly, you typically need to be injured by accident. That means if you're doing your normal job in the normal way and nothing unusual happens and you get hurt, you're not covered. Hmm. Not every on-the-job injury is covered. You got to be injured by accident. There has to be something out of the ordinary that happens that causes you to get hurt. A shorthand that the insurance companies often use is, did you have a slip, trip, or fall? Well, a slip, a trip, and a fall are all accidents if they cause you to get hurt. But an injury by accident is actually a lot more subtle than that. It could be your first day on the job and the fact that it's new, that's enough to be an accident. It could be picking up a box that's 40 pounds heavier than anything you ever had to pick up before at that job. That could be an accident. I mean, there's a lot of little things that can be accidents. Mm-hmm. But if you're doing your normal job in the normal way and you get hurt, that's not covered. Mm-hmm. And then there's a couple of other rules. There's the specific traumatic incident. If you hurt your spine, either your back or your neck, you don't have to have an accident. You just have to have a specific incident that caused it. And if you have some condition that developed over time, such as carpal tunnel syndrome, then that's called an occupational disease, and there's another standard for that that doesn't require you to have an accident.
What percentage of things that happen on the job are covered by, you know, like what percentage of them is about 50-50 or, you know, 60-40 when people actually get to take advantage of workers' comp?
In my experience, it's a lot higher percentage than 50%. You know, I had a guy call me this week who tore his rotator cuff in his shoulder, terrible injury, has to have surgery. And unfortunately, he picked up a box that was kind of in the normal course of his everyday work and was busting the box open. And that's something that he does maybe 10 or 15 times a day. And because it's part of his routine, even though this particular box caused him to rip his shoulder and have to have surgery, because it's part of his normal routine to rip these boxes open, he's not going to be covered. So he's kind of an exception to the rule there, but I would say probably 70-80% of the people who get hurt at work are going to be covered.
Wow. And how, you know, obviously each form of law or each, you know, sort of section of law is different. How complicated can workers' comp law get? I mean, it seems to me that you're trying to prove things in such a way. Oh, there's the book. Yep. He's got the book.
Yeah. Well, I anticipated that question, and I know we're on radio and not TV. if we were on TV, I would hold up the North Carolina Workers' Compensation Law Annotated 2016 edition, published by LexisNexis. This is our Bible, if you will, as a workers' comp lawyer, and this is a paperback, and it's got, not counting the index, it's got 962 pages in it.
Wow.
And weighs, I don't know.
Well, no, actually, that's not my part of my normal job there, so I don't want to lift that book for fear that I may need to call you after. Let me give the listener some perspective of how big this thing is. If I lift it, there's the strong possibility I will be filing workers' comp, because that is not within the daily routine of my job. Okay? I don't lift things that heavy. It's in my contract, as a matter of fact. I would never lift anything that heavy. No, it is a very large book, and it looks to be written in... and very small print, too. So the 962 pages, you can probably, you know, push that out to about 1,800 normal book.
Yeah. And this has got the statutes in, which is what the legislature creates. And after each one of the statutes, and there's about a little over 100 separate statutes in workers' comp. But in this book, after each one, there's what we call the case notes and the annotations. Mm-hmm. See, this book of statutes is not the totality of the law on any particular thing. Mm-hmm. You've got... our appellate courts, the North Carolina Supreme Court and North Carolina Court of Appeals, deciding cases every month. Mm-hmm. And the case annotations in this thing just give you maybe one paragraph about the case of, say, Smith versus Jones. Mm-hmm. You go look up Smith versus Jones in the case book, and it might be 8 pages. But here you've only got one paragraph in these 900 pages.
Wow.
So you can actually multiply this 1,000-book page probably by a factor of maybe 20 if you wanted to get all the workers' comp law that's out there that's potentially relevant to a case.
I know in other forms of law, there's changes that get made, you know, sort of every year. Is there a lot of changes that get made to workers' comp law?
Well, the last time the legislature made any big changes to our law was 2011.
Okay.
And then every month, the Court of Appeals will come out with new cases. I think they come out on the second Tuesday of the month, and the Supreme Court does too. And workers' comp is one of the most common types of cases that our Court of Appeals handles.
Wow.
They may put out 20 cases every second Tuesday, and there might be 3 or 4 workers' comp cases, and then the other 16 or 17 is everything else.
Right.
So we have to look at those cases because there might be some new nuance to the law in one of those decisions, because that's part of what the court does, is interprets the law for us and tells us exactly what it is. And that gets down into some pretty tiny little changes sometimes. So to answer your question, yes, it changes pretty much all the time.
Well, if you feel like you have a workers' comp claim you need some help with, be sure and give the Bollinger Law Firm a call. You can reach out to them, 704-377-7677. That's 704-377-7677. Also on the web, BollingerLawFirmNC.com. That's BOLLINGER. LawFirmNC.com. And don't forget the NC. As a matter of fact, Bob, you were telling me a funny story. There's actually, if you leave the NC off, explain it to me again. If you leave the NC off, what winds up happening now?
Well, if you just send it to the Bollinger Law Firm, like an email, it goes to these really nice people in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, who run the Bollinger Law Firm up there. It's Dorothy and her husband, Barry Bollinger.
Shout out to them.
Yeah, shout out to them. And they have like an intellectual property practice. And sometimes I get an email from them, and it's somebody who has tried to email me, and they didn't put the NC in there, so they sent it to B. Bollinger at BollingerLawFirm.com without that NC, and it goes to Barry Bollinger up there in Philadelphia. So Barry or Dorothy will send me this email, and they'll have like, hey, is this yours? And I'll look at it, and of course it's mine. I'm like, yeah, thanks. And you know, I call them my friends in Philadelphia. I've never met them. I've talked to them on the phone to thank them for sending me emails and to send them emails thanking them, and I sent them a fruit basket at Christmas, and they were just really thrilled that I sent them a fruit basket, but they have saved me a lot of hassle by forwarding my emails over the
Little did they know when they set up their law firm, they were also going to be the assistant to the other law firm down here in North Carolina.
Yeah, you know, and then there's a Bollinger Law Firm in Texas, too, but I don't get any of his emails, and he doesn't get mine. So the nice folks in Philadelphia.
Well, then let's clear that up again just to save Barry and his gang the hassle. It's BollingerLawFirmNC.com, BOLLINGER, LawFirmNC.com. This is Ask the Expert. Stick around. We've got a couple more segments with Bob Bollinger. We'll be back right after this.
When you wake up,
The Bollinger Law Firm is based in Charlotte, but takes workers' compensation cases across North Carolina. Attorney Bob Bollinger has a strong reputation as a lawyer for people who have been injured at work in North Carolina. Bob will go to court whenever necessary to ensure that his clients get the workers' compensation benefits that they deserve. It is important to have a lawyer who will go to court for you if necessary. Some lawyers avoid going to court and want to settle every case before trial. Bob Bollinger will go to court, and he has been a certified specialist in workers' compensation law for over 15 years. He has successfully handled hundreds of workers' comp cases. Questions about your workers' compensation benefits and obligations? Talk with specialist attorney Bob Bollinger. Consultations are always free. To schedule a free consultation with Bob regarding a work injury in North Carolina, contact the law offices of the Bollinger Law Firm at 704-377-7677. That's 704-377-7677. Or go to their website at BollingerLawFirmNC.com.
Welcome back once again to Ask the Experts right here on 94.7 Smoke 1660, also available on the 94.7 Smoke app. Be sure and download that. This week we have the privilege of speaking with Mr. Bob Bollinger of the Bollinger Law Firm. He specializes in workers' comp law. So if you've been injured on the job or if you think you have a compensation claim, you should reach out to him. BollingerLawFirmNC.com. BollingerLawFirmNC.com. Also 704-377-7677. And, Bob, it's funny, there's a lot of lawyers in the world. That goes without saying. But when it comes to workers' comp lawyers, we see a lot of stuff. I see them all the time. I see them on television. I see them all kinds of places. But tell me, from your standpoint, as a workers' comp law, what should people really be looking at when they decide who they're going to pick to handle their case?
Well, I think there are three things that are important when somebody tries to pick a lawyer to handle a workers' comp case. The three things are, first and foremost, you've got to find a lawyer who is competent to handle a case in workers' comp law. Mm-hmm. Then you've got to find somebody who's not only competent, but they have a personality that meshes okay with yours, you can get along with them. And finally, the third thing is you want to find a lawyer who provides reasonably good customer service to you as a client, keeping you informed about what's going on in the case and answering your questions within a reasonable period of time and answering your questions in a way that you can understand, not being a lawyer. Yeah. So I think those are the three things. But I think the biggest one is you got to find somebody who's competent to handle a workers' compensation case.
Yeah. Well, talking about that stuff, Bob, the one thing you mentioned there that I for me personally, that I would be most, apt to seek out is someone who can talk to me in terms that I can understand. Because I got, when it comes to any kind of law, I'm sure it's very nuanced and complex. But when it comes to workers' comp law, I feel like it could get really complicated really fast.
Well, it can, Will. And there are a couple of things going on there. One, there are a lot of complications that the average person isn't aware of. We were talking earlier about the 1,000-page law book just being a fraction of it.
Yeah.
And the second thing is there's a lot of jargon in workers' compensation, or a lot of what we call words of legal art, words like average weekly wage, which has a specific definition, and compensation rate and specific traumatic incident and vocational rehabilitation. These are all words of art, we call them, mm-hmm. that have specific meanings within the context of a workers' compensation claim. Mm-hmm. And you've got to find a lawyer who can explain this stuff to you so that you can understand it without having any background knowledge about workers' compensation.
Yeah. Well, Bob, I would ask you this, and I want to make sure I say this right, because I'm not saying anybody's better or worse than anyone else, but are there different, especially in workers' comp, and I think this would probably be true of any kind of law, are there different levels of competency when it comes to your workers' comp attorney?
Yes, I think there are. And in fact, there are different levels of competency among lawyers in any area of the law. And the state bar who licenses us to practice law recognizes this, because we actually have an ethical rule that we have to follow that says if somebody brings a case to us and we don't feel like we are competent to handle that particular matter, then we're not supposed to take them on as a client and handle that case. We're supposed to help them find somebody else who is competent to do it. So, yes, we're all aware that there are different levels of competency, not just for workers' comp lawyers, but for all kinds of lawyers.
Yeah. Wow, that's interesting. I didn't know that you. I guess that's part of your like moral obligation as an attorney.
Yeah, we call it ethical obligations professional responsibility obligations is what we refer to it as.
Yeah. So I mean, workers' comp law then has to be extremely specialized, I would think.
Well, it is. Now, in North Carolina, you can't call yourself a specialist in something unless you've actually gone through the state bar's program that determines that you are in fact a specialist. Hmm. And I've done that. I've been certified as a specialist in workers' comp since the year 2000. And that program certifies specialists in various areas of the law. But to become a workers' compensation specialist attorney, you have to take extra continuing education courses. You have to have something like at least 500 hours a year of handling workers' comp cases for the previous, I think it's 5 years before you get certified. You have to get your peers in the profession. You have to get several of them to actually recommend you as a specialist based on the fact that they know your work in that area of the law. And then you have to go take a bar exam on that area of the law. And when I took that bar exam in 2000, it was a 6-hour, 298-question test that I had to go down to Raleigh and take. And it was the hardest exam I've taken, short of the original bar exam back in 1988 that took 2 days.
Yeah.
So in order, you know, you get through all that, and then you can call yourself a specialist. The bar will certify you as a specialist. And that was my workers' comp specialization program. The bar also certifies people as specialists in things like real estate law, criminal defense, family law, a whole bunch of other areas. Yeah. Now, what that means for the general public is, if you're looking to hire a lawyer for a particular area of law, you can look and see who's got that North Carolina State Bar Board of Specialization certificate, who can literally call themselves a specialist legally, who's been certified by the bar. You know that person's going to be competent to do that kind of work because the bar has certified them as a specialist. So that's the first place somebody should look. For a workers' comp lawyer, look for somebody who's a certified specialist.
Well, I know I see a lot of advertising for workers' comp lawyers. I mean, is that helpful? I mean, is that a helpful thing for a client?
Well, most of the advertising that you see, certainly the TV advertising, is not giving you any useful information, really, about the competency of the lawyer. I can't remember a single TV ad I've seen where the lawyer stood up and said, hire me. I'm a certified specialist in this area of the law. I know what I'm doing. And you know, that would be maybe helpful. but most of the television advertising is just trying to entice you to get them to contact the firm so that they can then contact you in return and continue to contact you and try to sign you up as a client.
Yeah.
It's marketing, but it's not necessarily very educational in terms of helping you choose a good lawyer for your case.
Yeah, and I do recognize that there is a small bit of irony as we sit here on advertising on radio, but it's still, I mean, I feel like at least here folks are getting some meaty information that they can actually use and they can understand. Again, if you have a workers' comp case and you're interested in finding out more, please give Bob and his team a call. The Bollinger Law Firm, 704-377-7677. That's 704-377-7677. Also on the web, BollingerLawFirmNC.com. Don't forget the NC. That's BollingerLawFirmNC.com. We've got one more segment of Ask the Experts here with Bob today, so stick around. We'll come back and finish it up right after this.
The Bollinger Law Firm is based in Charlotte, but takes workers' compensation cases across North Carolina. Attorney Bob Bollinger has a strong reputation as a lawyer for people who have been injured at work in North Carolina. Bob will go to court whenever necessary to ensure that his clients get the workers' compensation benefits that they deserve. It is important to have a lawyer who will go to court for you if necessary. Some lawyers avoid going to court and want to settle every case before trial. Bob Bollinger will go to court, and he has been a certified specialist in workers' compensation law for over 15 years. He has successfully handled hundreds of workers' comp cases. Questions about your workers' compensation benefits and obligations? Talk with specialist attorney Bob Bollinger. Consultations are always always free. To schedule a free consultation with Bob regarding a work injury in North Carolina, contact the law offices of the Bollinger Law Firm at 704-377-7677. That's 704-377-7677. Or go to their website at BollingerLawFirmNC.com.
Welcome back to the final segment of Ask the Experts. We are with Bob Bollinger of the Bollinger Law Firm today. He is a workers' compensation lawyer. If you have questions, if you've been hurt on the job, or you have maybe just need to know some more information about what exactly qualifies for workers' comp and what doesn't, just call 704-377-7677, 704-377-7677. Also on the web, BollingerLawFirmNC.com. That's BollingerLawFirmNC.com. Now, Bob, you know, we've covered a lot of stuff here today as far as picking the right attorney and that kind of stuff. But what workers' comp really boils down to is someone has been injured and they more than likely require medical care. So, you know, how do you go about getting a client the proper medical care in a workers' comp case?
Well, you're absolutely correct. One of the two things that the workers' comp law provides for an injured worker is the medical care. And then what we call indemnity, which is the wage loss replacement while you're out of work healing up.
Yeah.
Now, in terms of getting the medical care, you have to break it down. Was your workers' compensation case accepted or denied by the insurance company? If the insurance company accepted liability by sending you a Form 60 or maybe a Form 63 indicating they accepted liability, then the insurance company gets to direct your medical care. That means that the insurance company, the workers' comp insurance company, gets to pick your doctor and make your appointments and send you over there.
Wow.
And if the doctor recommends a certain treatment and the insurance company decides they don't want to pay for it, then you're going to have a battle trying to get that treatment, even though their doctor that they picked recommended it. If the insurance company denies liability for your workers' comp case, then you're on your own at that point. You've got to use your health insurance or whatever you can scrounge up to get your medical care.
Mm.
Now, the silver lining in that denial cloud is you get to pick your doctor if it gets denied. You know, so you can pick a doctor that you or your primary care physician recommends, and you can go to that doctor and get treated for your on-the-job injury while you fight with the insurance company about whether they ought to be covering your injury.
Mm.
So you've got the insurance company in an accepted case directing the medical care. And sometimes if you're the injured worker, you don't agree with how they are directing the medical care. This comes up a lot. Mm. So the question then becomes, if you've got an accepted case and they are directing your medical care, how do you change things? How do you get a new doctor? How do you get the treatment that the doctor is recommending when the insurance company doesn't want to provide it? This is a problem that comes up pretty often.
Mm. Well, real quick, I'll stop you there. I just want to run back. If a claim gets denied, you can't appeal, right?
You can appeal it, and you should hire, as we discussed earlier, you should hire a specialist workers' compensation lawyer to help you with that.
Okay.
And in the meantime, while you're appealing it, you know, that legal process of an appeal takes months, and in the meantime, you need treatment. If you have health insurance, you give that denial form that you got from workers' comp to your health insurance company, mm-hmm. and they will pay for your treatment at that point.
Oh, okay.
You know, otherwise, the exclusion in your health insurance that we don't pay for work-related injuries, what that really means is we don't pay for injuries that ought to be covered by the workers' comp insurance company.
Okay.
That's what they really mean.
Yeah.
And if you can show that the workers' comp insurance company is not paying for it because they've denied responsibility for it, then the health insurance will pay for it. The health insurance often will have a right to be reimbursed if you later settle your claim, but that's a separate issue. But for now, what you want to do is get your medical treatment, and if it's been denied, you need to use your health insurance to get your treatment.
Yeah. How often do you feel like you're appealing more than you're winning?
Well, you know, as a plaintiff's lawyer representing injured workers, I don't usually get a call from the people whose cases are going smoothly.
Yeah. Isn't it funny how that works?
Yeah, yeah. You know, if the case is accepted and everything's going smoothly, they don't need me, you know, and that's fine. I usually get a call from the people who are having trouble. Either their case has been denied or their case is accepted, but for some reason they're not getting their wage loss money, or they're not getting proper medical care that their doctor's recommending. And that's when I can do them some good. They come call me, and I get involved and step in and take some action for them.
Well, I think I've asked you this before, too. I'm sitting here talking to you, I keep thinking to myself, like, what could possibly happen to me at work where I would need a, because I work in an office, I sit in front of a computer all day. I know you mentioned carpal tunnel. That's a long-term thing. But I mean, could it be something as, simple as, hey, I was walking into a certain part of my office and I slipped and I fell? It could be something like that.
It could. And I've represented a lot of people who work in an office setting who slipped and fell, or they fell down the stairs, or they fell in a wet spot on the floor, or they bumped into something and got knocked over. And when they fell and hit the floor, hit the ground, they got hurt. I've had clients that had comminuted fractures of the forearm in an office setting, because the way I represented, a comminuted fracture is one where the bone is basically kind of crushed, and it's just a bunch of chips in there, a bunch of pieces. And the orthopedic surgeon has to go in there with what they call an open reduction. I forget what the I stands for, and I think the F is fracture. Open reduction internal fixation is what that stands for.
Okay.
They slice you open.
Easy enough for you to say.
Yeah, really. They slice you open in the operating room, and they go in there with their fingers and their tools and try to put all those bones back in the right places like a jigsaw puzzle. And then they take screws and plates and wires or whatever and try to bolt everything back together so it'll heal up together. Well, that's how they fix a comminuted fracture. I've represented a number of people who worked in office settings who fell and suffered a comminuted fracture. And it takes months to recover from that. And usually you've got some permanent impairment from that, because it's just a nasty injury.
Well, we don't have much time left here, but I did want to, and we will definitely have Bob back again to talk some more about this stuff, because as you can tell, folks, there's a lot to talk about. I did want to ask you real quick, and I know it's probably not something you can cover all that quickly, but what if there are long-term effects from an injury? Is that something that is sometimes paid up front, or is that something where a person's going to be looking at payments for the rest of their life kind of thing?
Well, if there's long-term effects from an injury such that you might need long-term medical care, we actually have a way in the workers' comp law now to get you lifetime medical coverage from the insurance company. It has to be an accepted case, which means if it's denied, we have to go to court and win the case for you. Mm-hmm. Your doctor has to say, I think there's a substantial risk of the need for future medical care for this particular problem, and they have to be willing to put that in writing. And then we can use a procedure called the Form 18M procedure, and we can get the Industrial Commission to award you lifetime medical coverage in that case. Now, if you settle your case on a full and final basis, you give up your medical coverage, and you get a lump sum of money to put in the bank, no taxes on it. But you've also got to finance your own medical care in the future, either with health insurance or out of your pocket. So if somebody has an injury that is possibly going to require some long-term medical care, for instance, a joint replacement, which might need to be replaced again in 10 years, then they have to think long and hard about settling, because they might just want to get that lifetime medical benefit locked in. That might be the best thing for them.
Yeah.
We always try to do what's in the best interest of the client, and a lot of times that's what's in the best interest.
Wow. Well, again, like I said, I hate to make that one such a short answer there, but we will definitely have Bob back again to talk more about that type of stuff. Again, it's Bob Bollinger, the Bollinger Law Firm. They are workers' compensation law specialists. Check them out, 704-377-7677, 704-377-7677. If you've been hurt on the job, these are definitely the folks you want to talk to. Bollinger Law Firm NC, that's Bollinger Law Firm NC.com. Bob, always a pleasure to talk to you, my friend. Please come back and join us again, won't you?
Thanks, Will. Be glad to.
All right, man. This has been Ask the Experts. Stick around. We got a lot more good stuff coming up on 94.7 Smoke, and we'll see you back here for another episode of Ask the Experts next week.
The Bollinger Law Firm is based in Charlotte, but takes workers' compensation cases across North Carolina. Attorney Bob Bollinger has a strong reputation as a lawyer for people who have been injured at work in North Carolina. Bob will go to court whenever necessary to ensure that his clients get the workers' compensation benefits that they deserve. It is important to have a lawyer who will go to court for you if necessary. Some lawyers avoid going to court and want to settle every case before trial. Bob Bollinger will go to court, and he has been a certified specialist in workers' compensation law for over 15 years. He has successfully handled hundreds of workers' comp cases. Questions about your workers' compensation benefits and obligations? Talk with specialist attorney Bob Bollinger. Consultations are always free. To schedule a free consultation with Bob regarding a work injury in North Carolina, contact the law offices of the Bollinger Law Firm at 704-377-7677. That's 704-377-7677. 7677, or go to their website at BollingerLawFirmNC.com.